This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Wednesday, February 12th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. More accountability in drought regulations. Grape crush down 23%. Former Trump official questions tariff threats. Republican urges economics in drought regulations. Republican Assembly member Juan Atlantis of Modesto is pressing for more accountability in the State Water Board's drought regulations. His new bill would require the board to perform a comprehensive economic study on the potential impacts of each emergency regulation before renewing it. Last month, the board readopted an emergency drought regulation along California's northernmost rivers for the fourth year in a row. Local farmers and ranchers have unsuccessfully pleaded with the board for years to carefully consider the broader economic impacts of the regulation. Keep in mind, Atlantis has a penchant for symbolic legislation. Last year, he revived a Republican effort to amend the state constitution to dedicate 1.5% of California's general fund revenues to water infrastructure investments. The bill was never taken up in committee. Grape crush down 23%. CDFA estimates the state's grape crush was the lowest in two decades last year. A new preliminary report indicates the crush was down nearly 23% from the previous year, ending at 2.8 million tons. Accounting for the largest share of the crush, red wine grapes were down 27%. While white wine grapes were down 18%, average prices were down 2.6% for red, 4.8% for white. The San Joaquin Valley accounted for the largest share of the crush, but its average price at $338 a ton, far below that of Napa County, which saw $6,900 a ton, though it was down 2.4%. Trump hikes tariffs on all steel and aluminum imports to 25%. President Donald Trump raised tariffs on all U.S. steel and aluminum imports to 25% yesterday, even as major U.S. suppliers are still reeling from recent tariff threats. The president issued two proclamations last night amending the tariffs introduced during the first term on steel and aluminum to protect the U.S. national security. A proclamation on steel ends several exemptions to the previous 25% duty and tariff rate quotas that had been negotiated during the previous Trump and Biden presidencies. A second brings the tariffs on aluminum up to 25% from the 10% rate imposed during Trump's first term. Both measures go into force from March 12th. You can read more at agripulse.com. Senators push ahead with budget plan. Republicans on Capitol Hill remain sharply divided over the best way to advance President Trump's policy priorities. The Senate GOP is pushing ahead with a two-step strategy. The Budget Committee is scheduled today to take up the first of two budget resolutions. The measure the committee is considering calls for increasing annual spending by $85.5 billion for 4 years. The money would be designated for the military and border security. I'll take note that resolution would only instruct committees to find $5 billion in spending reductions over the next decade, $1 billion coming from the Senate Agriculture Committee. House GOP leadership continues to insist on doing a single bill that would include tax cuts. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Sinski highlights dangers of repeated tariff threats. Former Deputy Ag Secretary Steven Sinski warning that tariff threats may secure concessions in the short term, but their overuse risk fraying trade ties with U.S. partners. I do worry about the long-term effects, Senske, who is now CEO of the American Soybean Association, said during a panel discussion at the annual meeting of the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives, using the threat of tariffs to make deals. I think that could work for a while, Senske said. The former Trump official added that countries, quote, don't want to do business with someone they think's a bully. People like to move someplace else and do business with people that they think are more predictable than people that they can trust, he said. Persistent tariff bluster could drive trade partners to look at U.S. competitors like China, Brazil, or BRICS countries, he added. Why it matters? Well, Trump this week announced negotiated exemptions on steel tariffs will end from March 12th. Aluminum tariffs will also rise on all U.S. imports. Meanwhile, Mexico, as well as Canada, could be facing new duties next month, and China has already seen a tariff hike. Farmers warn against county office staff reduction at House Ag hearing. Farmers warned at a House Ag Committee hearing yesterday that losing USDA staff and county offices could add barriers to accessing funding and conservation assistance. Staff at the Farm Service Agency and Natural Resources Conservation Service provide an important service to farmers, witnesses said. Quote, any reduction in staffing or opportunities to speak with people in those offices could potentially lead to inadequacies and inefficiencies, Texas farmer Alicia Schwertner told lawmakers. Illinois Corn Grower Executive Director Rodney Weinzierl said local NRCS staff provide support to farmers with contracts, but he also added that he would like to see them provide more general technical assistance as well. When pressed by Representative Jill Takuda of Hawaii, Weinzierl said staffing cuts would ultimately limit the agency's ability to do that. He said, quote, I would say they're not providing as much technical service support already, and if their staffing was reduced, obviously it would be less. You can read our full report at agripulse.com. Here's today's final word. It's not easy to say all that you did to make everybody in this room upset all at one time. That Vanessa Delgado, chair of the South Coast Air Quality Management District, Delgado responded to comments from a board member, Gideon Krakow, who took the time from a recent hearing to blast each party involved in discussions over regulating emissions at Southern California ports. You can read the latest on the district's rulemaking in the AgriPulse West newsletter hitting inboxes this morning. Finally, here's a correction. Daybreak West incorrectly stated last week that the State Water Board has received funding for drinking water projects from the Inflation Reduction Act. The money came from the bipartisan infrastructure law. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Wednesday, February 12th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Allen.